Now, I want to ask you a question tonight, because tonight's word is about, what did God say? Did God say? Now, if God says something, it has substance to it. How do we know that? Because we're here. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be. And you've got that on the inside of you. You know, you've got the creative abilities on the inside of you as well. Right? Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, it says in the Amplified Bible, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So it's saying faith is the assurance, it's the confirmation, it's something that you can get your hands around, you can take it, and you can go and spend it. Now, if I give Norman a £20 note, Norman can take that to the shop and spend it, can't he? Faith is exactly the same. It's a word of God, and it's a substance, right? Now, we've got to understand how to move in faith, how to move in the things that God has prepared for it. And so when you put this into action, there is a cause and there is an effect that happens, okay? So cause and effect. So faith is an assurance of God that something will happen if he says it will. If God says it will happen, it will happen. Amen? Amen? Anybody in agreement with that? Amen. Is that right? Yes. Faith is a substance. It's a building block you can build on. It's solid and dependable. You're going to base your life on something that's dependable. Right, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is, they call him the chief cornerstone. They call him the rock. And if you base your life on the rock, then it's basing it on something that you can absolutely take to the bank in cash. You're basing your life on something right. Listen, God wrote the Bible, didn't he? In the olden days, back in the 60s and 70s, Uncle Arthur will tell you that if you bought a car, you got a book called the Haynes Manual. Anybody remember the Haynes Manual? And it used to have all kinds of fascinating facts in, and you only ever really looked at the pictures. And it had troubleshooting things and what you're meant to put in the car, what you're not meant to put in the car. It's like if I open my petrol tank and pour a bag of sugar in, it's not going to go very far. It needs the right correct fuel. So, you know, it's like if I put honey in instead of oil, then it's not going to work, is it, you know? It's like, so we've got to put the right things in. And if you're basing your life on what somebody says, right? Now, I know a lot of people base their lives, right, on their stars, right? Anybody based their life? You used to get up. I used to think myself, I used to be up and like, come to look in the paper, right? What is it? Oh, dear, I'm not going to have a good day today, am I? And some people base their lives around things like that. You know, if you base your life around, you know, the things of the world, then honestly, you're back in the losser. You're back in the deaden. So when you put your trust in God, who's heard the story of the three little pigs? Remember that story you get taught when you're at school? The first little piggy built his house on what? Anybody know?
Straw.
Right? Right? So the first little piggy built his house in straw. The second little piggy built his house on?
Sticks.
Right? But the third little piggy built his house with?
Bricks.
Amen. And you may remember the story that the big bad wolf, he come along and he huffing and puffing, but he couldn't blow the house down. Amen. And you remember, well, I think the end of the story climbs down the chimney and ends up in the boiling water. Well, how true is that? Because he can huff and puff against you. But if your life is built on the rock which is Jesus Christ, you can blow. And it's like them tower blocks I used to live in in Crudders Park, you know, they used to wave back and forwards in the wind, but they never toppled over. And sometimes the wind will blow against you, but if you're founded on the rock, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stand there. God has planted you correctly. You're planted on the rock. You're going to bear fruit. You know, and like I say, so you're building your life on faith. Faith on the promises of God. Because if God says to you, listen, if Jesus appeared to you right now, Debbie, and said, Debbie, I'm going to give you £1 million in the morning, right? I guarantee you that would be there on the mat. Or however else. Because what it is we've got to understand that we are seeking the promises of God. And we are seeking what has God said for you and what has God said for your life. Because so many people are selling themselves short. They're not getting the full claimants. Many people are. Many people are walking and getting into things and, yeah, the blessings are coming. And, you know, I was, you know, and so, but the thing is we've got to base our lives on what God, and sometimes God will send people to give you a word and give you confirmation and things like that. But if you're getting it from God himself, you see, and the thing is that, you know, when God gives you something, it'll come to pass. And that's what we've got to understand. God's not like us in any kind of way. Sorry, Lord. You know, God's not temperamental. He doesn't throw wobblies. Not very often anyway. He's not somebody who chops and changes his mind every 5 minutes. He's dependable. He's all. Does anybody here deserve salvation? Anybody? Not. How many times have you screwed up since you become a Christian? Multitudes. But you know, none of us deserve him, but you know, he is so faithful. So faithful. So dependable. So dependable. And sometimes he'll get you to the place where he wants you to be. It's like, you know, when I was a little kid and I was out with me mom, and she would be like, David, come here. And she'd be like, you know, when you're a little toddler, she's grabbing you and dragging you along, and you're like, no, I don't want to go. And then it would be like, she'd be, come on, you, get. And she would drag us to where I had to get to, but she got us to where I had to get to. And God will get you to your destination. He's not going to abandon you halfway along the path. Right? He's an awesome God. He's dependable. Now, what is faith? Faith is a promise of God. Faith is believing in what God has said that will happen. Faith's not using imagination. Well, brother, I just feel like, Lord, you see some people who get confused, right? You see a lot of rubbish on some of the, Father forgives, on some of the Christian channels. And there's loads of false teaching out there, and there's loads of false teaching on the internet. And don't, listen, you heard what happened. Norma was watching the internet last week, and demons jumped out the screen. There's a lot of demonic stuff going on out there. You want the truth, you want what's right, you want what's dependable. You don't want bits of this and bits of this rubbish. And, you know, it's like I've seen, oh dear, well, not go there, because I'm sure you've all seen it, but, you know, in some places, you know, it's almost like what they get into. Listen, there is, you know, in witchcraft, right, what they do to start a will. Satan's five I wills, he's rebelling against God. I will be like the Most High. I will sit in the congregation of the North and all this sort of rubbish. And it's will. And there's, you know, occultic teaching where they visualize things and start to bring it through, you know, and it's counterfeit and it's dangerous. It's not about using your imagination. It's getting it off God. If God comes to you and says something to you, it will happen. You don't need all of this rubbish and that. And there's a lot of modern age, new age stuff flaking into bits of Christianity. And what you want is just the straight truth from God. You don't want anything else. You want what's right from him. And God is like, you know, yeah, faith is not, that's not to say you never use your imagination, because you do. But the thing is faith is not imagination. It's not like, well, Lord, I need £1 million in the morning. I'm going to have it. I'm going to pray all night for that £1 million. It's not going to come. If God said to Norman, I want you to get on your knees and pray for £1 million for the morning, it's there. I used to move, I've been, like, many years ago, I used to travel with ministries from Northern Ireland. Larry, remember Yvonne McLean and them, from Logos Ministries. And this was the biggest schools ministry in Northern Ireland. And they were a total faith thing. And they would, this is the way it happened. They would actually, they would pray. God would put a figure on their heart what they needed. Right, we need £10,000 tomorrow morning for books. And you guarantee you would be praying and the money would be there. And God would, I'd done. And God said, and he does nice things as well. I went to Yvonne's bathroom. It was absolutely beautiful. She said, Dave, one day the Lord just said, Yvonne, I'd like you to have a new bathroom. And it was £9,000 worth of tiles and all this beautiful marble things. And that's what God is. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have comfort. But when you're serving the Lord continually, he's looking after your needs and everything else in that, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if God says to me, right, Davey, he gives us the instruction, and then I pray on it, it's going to happen. Because it originated from him, not from my imagination. That's the difference. That's where people go off. Oh, I would like this, and I'm going to pray for this. Well, sister, and then you get two, like, you hear some Christians, well, I'm going to pray for you to win the lottery, and you pray for me to win the lottery. What? Well, I waste the time. God said to you, right, here's the numbers. Next week you're going to go, But, like, well, I've been praying for 40 years to win the national lottery, and God's not answering my prayers. It's like, when you pray in alignment with his will, that's when it happens. If God, you shouldn't be greeding and lusting after those things. And then when you don't lust after them, God gives you them anyway. That's the key. You want to be rich, don't lust after money. Don't lust after power. Give it up, and God will give you it anyway. You see, look at the devil. He rebelled. Listen, when Satan rebelled against God, when Lucifer rebelled in heaven, all the things that Lucifer rebelled against and what he was rebelling for, God's given us freely. Everything. That's why he hates you. Because God has freely given you everything that the devil was after. Now, if the devil was a mighty powerful angel, now if he was after something, it must be worth having, mustn't it? So, getting revelation on yourself, getting revelation on the treasure that's within you must be something mighty powerful. Mighty, mighty, mighty powerful. Well, we stand up here giving the testimonies about moving the clouds, stopping the rain, things appearing in my hands, all sorts of stuff. But that's because God spoke to her. When Shane was in the car with us and we're doing an hour and a half journey in 20 minutes because God spoke to us. I've just moved you. Moved you on in time, an hour. And, it would have took me a Formula One racing car and I still wouldn't get back to Newcastle in 2.5 hours from Birmingham. And anybody else know anybody can do Birmingham to Newcastle in a car in 2.5 hours? But God translated with. Because we're moving into those higher things. Why? Because we believe God. And he can trust with. And he can speak to him. We believe him. We're probably so stupid. Thank you, God. You use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So I'm probably so stupid that, I'm the one who will get up and dance around an empty church all night, every Friday night, by myself, all night, every Friday night. Certifiable behavior, isn't it? It's rubber room activity, like if the doctor just peeped in the door and saw me jumping and run, because I wouldn't even front in any years and that, But I was jumping around all night, praising the Lord all Friday nights, every Friday nights and that, Because I love Jesus. I love spending time with him. Friday nights in here, great. And you feel the fire building up, can't you? Can't you? And when we hit that midnight hour, it just sort of, it lifts up, doesn't it? It goes up again, and it's like God saying, Well, think about it now. What were you doing, you know, I mean, Friday night? You know, I thank God, where's Claire now, mother? All right. We see, there's like say Claire and them coming and praying on a Friday night. And Norma and all the other ones who are there on Friday nights, they're not sitting in bars and clubs on a Friday night, which is what they used to do. They're not saying, oh, I'm going to have a night in front of the telly and just sit there. They're sacrificing, and God honours the sacrifice of prayer. They're saying, right, well, why do I want to sit and watch, you know, Strictly Come Dancing or something like that? I'd rather be with Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I've fallen around the big market bars, dodging the glasses and, you know, what's he looking at and, you know, and all this sort of thing. And like spending half the night clunking to the toilet. You know what I mean? Isn't it? The 3 o'clock telephone. You know, like hanging on to the big white telephone at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going and talking a load of rubbish, listening to a load of nonsense, a big fight in the kebab shop. And that, you know, and it's like, you know, people getting hooked in the taxi rank. And that, isn't it? I'm right, isn't it? I think Ben's laughing because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know? And it's like, and then you're wondering, and then you're next day, you're sat in the head and say, I'm never going to do that again. Never do that again. And then 6 o'clock comes and you're like, right, jump off, shower and off. And then it's like, oh no, that's what kind of an existence is that? And now they're coming praying all night. God's going to so bless them, so bless you, that's what it's about. And it's a sacrifice, staying up in prayer, is staying up. Jesus came, listen, Jesus came, and you know, he found the disciples asleep. And he said, could you not stay awake for me 1 hour? You know, and it's just like, it really annoys me that, like, you know, I don't know why, like it just does, just because I love being with the Lord. And sometimes and you feel spiritually better. You know, listen, a couple of hours of prayer in God's presence is better than 3 weeks at a health farm. I'm telling you, you can zap, zap, zap everything. I felt like I was on the ceiling when I come out of there. And when I go home, when I'm leaving that building, it's like I get an afterburn. When I'm lying in the house, I'm just lying there in the fire, you know, the afterburn, you know. And you know, that's what it's about. Where, you know, God is drawn me nearer so he can do more with me. He clears out the old to bring in the new. He takes out all that's rotten and, you know, and he brings it into being, you know. You know, we look at acts of faith, you know. We're talking about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the world was framed. Listen to that. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Who is the word of God? Who is the word of God? Jesus, you know, Jesus is the word of God. And so that the things which were not seen were made of things which are visible. The things which were not seen were made of things which are visible. Faith. Now, can you imagine, like, you know, God gives you something to do. He shows you a vision, a picture. Remember a man called Noah? There was old Noah there, right? You know, great man of God. And he got that commission. Now, what do you think was the reaction, the people's reactions to Noah? You know, when he suddenly started building this whacking great ship in the middle of nowhere, and he started building this big boat, people were looking and think, he's off his chump. Weren't they? Look at him, he's mad. Yeah. And that, you know? And, you know, it was 120 years it took him to build that. And then all these animals going in. God knows what the people are thinking. You know, the animals going in two by two, right? There's the goats trotting in and the sheep. And, you know, what were people thinking? Has he lost his, you know? But then the rain started, you see. And then they were like trying. But by then, it was too late. The door was shut. You know, an act of faith. Noah put his faith into action. Because he found favor with God. Moses parted the Red Sea with his staff. Now, can you imagine, like, we went down to Nineveh, which is where it happened, and on the Sinai Peninsula, and we've been there, and you've got the mountains, and you've got this massive beach, and you've got the Hilton Hotel there, but it wasn't there then. You've got this huge beach, massive, and then you've got mountains all the way around it. And God led Moses, he led Moses by the cloud and by the pillar of fire. And if you wanted to see Moses, what did you wanted to see God, what did you do? You put your head out your tent. And what was there? There was the pillar of fire on the night time. During the day, there was the cloud. The cloud. And God took Moses deliberately to that beach. Because when Pharaoh's army came, there was no way out for them. Because all they had was the sea. But and that started, the people started to panic. And then God put a wall of fire up. And what had happened, he said to Moses, put your staff into the sea. He got the word. He didn't just say, I'm going to put my staff in, who up the Red Sea, who opens here. God said, put your staff into the water. And the water jumped. Up it went. And they went through. And you know, you think about the miracle, the awesomeness of that. And he took them to that place because there's a sand bridge under the water that only God knew about, which is on the British Admiralty chart maps. You go and check it out. From Nueva to Saudi Arabia, there's a 7-mile bridge of sand under the water, which has a 5,000-foot drop on either side. And God knew that was the place, and he took them through there. He took them through. And you know, you think about when he brought those people out of Egypt, it said that no one was sick. You understand that? There was nobody sick. See, God quickened their bodies. God healed them. The shoe leather didn't wear out. 40 years. 40 years, the shoe leather. He fed them morning and night. The panic. You know? Why would God not? And these were unsaved people. They were unsaved people. So how much more would God give you who are saved? How much more does he want to do in you? Faith to believe in, not just to hear a voice. It's no good just saying that for God to speak to you and yet you keep ignoring him. Of God saying something, it's like you're turning, oh, I don't want to hear that, Lord. And you kind of pick and choose what you hear off God. Oh, I don't like that little bit, so I'm not going to receive that. Oh, no, that can't be God. And it says that there's multitudes of Christians today in the Pentecostal churches that are running about in the Anglican churches or in the Methodist churches or wherever, free churches, people running around looking to get their ears till they hear what they want to hear. They refuse. It says they're stubborn. Their hearts are stubborn. And let me tell you, stubbornness is the same as witchcraft in God's eyes. If you, a fool refuses, you know, to listen to God. If a, you know, it says, if you hear the word of God and you ignore it, it says you're a fool. You're foolish. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes God asks you to do something that you don't want to do, but you've got to do it. And it's a test, and God will reward you for those things that you don't want to do, that God asks you to do, and you just do them fearfully, then God will bless you. But a fool refuses a rebuke. And the Lord chastens those whom he loves. And he's not going to tell you always what you want to hear. He isn't. I know Jesus is my best friend. And sometimes he says those things I don't want to hear. Sometimes it's like, oh Lord, do I have to do that? Do I have to say this? Do I have to go there? And he says, I want you to go. I say, okay, Lord. That's it. Okay. So we have to, sometimes God, because he loves us, that he has to give a word that's harsh or a rebuke, but he'll also do it with a word of encouragement and a word of love. He never does anything out of love that's not based in love. And that's it, you know. And it's like, I would rather have one true word of God that I'm not here to get my ears tickled. I want the truth of the Lord. And you know, Joshua obeyed God. And the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, can you imagine when that was the Lord Jesus standing with Joshua, and he's saying, well, Joshua, I want you to march around the walls, and I want you to, and then on the last day, I want you to make a big shout. You know, Joshua might have been stood there thinking, What you just want me to do? Yeah. Do I shout? Yeah, get the musicians just to, blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls will fall down. And I bet you Joshua had that moment where he just thought, right, okay, so we'll just do that. And when he's walking back to the people, well, what did the Lord say? Well, he told them we've got to march around, and we're then in silence, and then we've got a big shout, and the people were probably scratching their heads when he got back there. He just said, we'll do that. Right, okay. So you can imagine, on the seventh lap of that building, what was going through their minds? Oh, what hope this is going to happen. But then they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. Because when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen? Praise be to God. So God has promised you things. And, his love, I want to tell you, God's in love with you. God's in love with you. You might be hard on yourself. Do you know God loves you? Absolutely loves you, cherishes you, adores you. Even in your fallen state, but it's like, God, I've just done that, Lord. And it's like, I know he just did that. I knew you were going to do it. Before the foundations of the world, I knew you were going to do it. What does Psalm 139 say? It says, well, it says, all the days of my life are written. So, and I've shared this before, but I know you'll understand it. Did you ever write a story at school? In an English book? Anybody here ever wrote a book or a story? Anybody wrote a story? Right? Goodness me, well, we've got some hands. So the thing is that in that story, you knew Uncle Arthur, you wrote a story at school. Right? And it's you knew the beginning of the story. You knew the middle of the story. You knew the end of the story, didn't you? And you knew all the characters in the book, in the story. What was going to happen in that, And just as that, God knows exactly the same. The Bible, he knows it's start to finish because we've read the end page. We know what it says. And God is outside of time. We are wandering through the pages of this book in time. But God's outside of time. So he knows Norman's first year and Norman's last year. He knows Stuart's first year and Stuart's last year. And he knows all the bits in between. Amazing, isn't it? It's a miracle. But if God says it, it's a fact. And I believe it. And, one day he went up to a man called Abraham and said, Abraham, I've made you the father of many nations. Not I'm going to make you. I'm not, or I might make you. I have made you, past tense, done, completed, absolute in God's mind. And it came to pass. And everything that God says does come to pass. So God's got things for you, and I want to say that God has a perfect will for your life. Turn to somebody next to you and say, God has a perfect will for your life. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. On that day, many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done mighty exploits in your name? And he's going to say, away from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. Right? And this is a hard one. But the thing is because he says, he who does the will of my Father, he who does the will of my Father will see heaven. So what does that mean? Well, God's got a perfect will for your life. And and so it's advantageous to you. The devil's always trying to stop you getting that perfect will. He's out to stop you because he's in big trouble if you get the will of God. Because all kinds of things happen. And it's in his interests to stop you. Last year I had a little, I want to just share a little bit. Because God had a plan for me last year. They came out to me praying and waiting on the Lord. So if you were in the church then, you would remember some of this. But at the beginning of last year, I was having my time out. And as I was having my time out, God said, I want you to go to Barbados. I said, Barbados, right, okay. And I was waiting on the Lord, and he kept insisting, Davey, I want you to go to Barbados. Well, I have a good friend called John Wright, and the Lord said, Davey, I want you to ring John Wright and get John Wright to set this up for you. So I rang John. I said, listen, John, the Lord's told us he wants us to go to Barbados. And I said, John had asked me a few years before, Davey, will you go to Barbados? And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, it's not the right time. But last year, he said it was, right, now's the time for you to go, ring John. And so John rang a friend in, who's a lovely, blessed man, who lives out in Barbados. This man's a friend of the Queen. He's called Sir Kiffin Simpson. He's one of the richest men on the planet. He owns parts of Shell Oil in the Bahamas, and in the whole Caribbean area. He owns Shell Oil. He owns it in the South America. He's got a franchise for it in the Caribbean and South America. Multi corporations and that, you know. And so when John rang, they were in the middle of a very, very busy thing that they were doing. And these are they're also like airlifting crates to Haiti to help with the famine relief and all this sort of thing. I mean, and so when John Wright had rang Michelle, who's Kiffin's PA, and said, Davies want to come out, and would it be possible? It was in a very busy time. Lots of things happening. They were doing earthquake relief stuff and all that. But in the midst of it, God spoke to them, to both of them, and said, I want you to bring Davey here. I want you to bring Davey here. So they contacted me back and said, yeah, no problem. The Lord spoke into it. He wants you to come and that, you know. And so they set up a number of events for us. And very carefully and prayerfully, Michelle, who's a lovely woman of God, just waited on the Lord and contacted a number of people, and everything fell into place. The Lord spoke, and Michelle contacted like the various people who in Barbados, various agencies, Teen Challenge, all kinds of people. So this is what happened: is like the Lord spoke to me, I spoke to John, John spoke to Michelle, and then the Lord confirmed it and spoke to them. So then they invited me out there. And what happened was, I went out to Grenada first, and I had 9 days holiday, right? So I was in Grenada at my friend Jimmy's house, and I hadn't even booked my flights from Grenada to Barbados. And I was going to book them at home, but the Lord said, no, wait till you get out there. So when I went to Grenada, and I was trying to get a flight for Barbados, the Lord had already spoke to Jimmy, and Jimmy paid for my flights. So my flight, I didn't pay for any flights. The Lord had spoke to them about paying for my flights. I got to Barbados, I was booked into to Blue Horizon Hotel, all expenses paid. If I want anything, just get it. The Lord had spoke to Kiffin Simpson and said, give David the treatment, anything he wants. So I got put up in a beautiful hotel, and absolutely just everything taken care of, everything paid for. I was there. I got off the plane. I went to Parkinson's School, which is in the middle of the worst district. You wouldn't believe it, but Barbados does have a few bad districts. And there was this school where there's loads of trouble. The Lord sent us to go and speak to these troubled kids. I went into the classroom. I shared my story with them. I showed the love of Jesus to them. And 7 of them gave their hearts to Jesus. Some of them got saved. I went back to the hotel. No, I went to the hotel now. From the airport, I'd went straight to school. And I went to the hotel, checked my gear in. And then I got taken to meet the Barbados choir, who tour all over the world. And I just had a little time with them, sharing my testimony. And 6 of them gave their hearts to Jesus. And they got saved, even though I was just there for like an hour with them and that, you know. I left that, and I went to a youth group that was organized by the Living Room Church. And there's about 50 kids in this house. And it opened up to us, and I start casting demons out all over the house. And people are giving their hearts to Jesus. And then I went back to the hotel. I had a lovely lie down and rest with the Lord, restoring us. The following morning, I gets up, and there's a national conference on drug abuse, and they'd managed to fit me in as one of the speakers. I gets in there, I start speaking, and 25 young people give their hearts to Jesus and got saved. And the newspapers were just happened to be there, taking pictures of the bodies and everything else and that. And so I got into the national newspaper, and they printed my whole story in the newspaper. And then they said, "Davey, can we come and see you on Monday and follow you about, and well, can we do a feature on you? So we're going to do a 3-page colour feature on you." I said, "Right, okay." I thought, this is better than giving out 100 tracts on the street. See, God was making the way. The footsteps were ordained, you see. So anyway, I got the news coverage, and then they took us up to the prison, Dodd's prison. And I had a full house in the prison. And I shared testimony with it. And it was nice sitting with the prison fellowship people. "This little one of mine, I'm going to let it shine." These little old wives and that, you know. And I got up there, and these big, hard men who were doing life sentences and all that, hurling, I got on their knees. And I seen another 15 men give their hearts to Jesus. And they took us away from there. And I went to the, and from Dodd's prison, I went straight to the living room church where the power of God came powerful. And then I went to bed. The following morning, I got up and they took us up to Verdun Rehab, which is a non-Christian rehab. And I was in there with all these Muslim men in that. And 20 of them got saved. And people were turning their backs on Islam and coming to Jesus. 20 men got saved that morning. I went to a house group, more people got healed. You know, and God, and then I had a wonderful time of recreation with the Lord. And he said, "I want you to just rest, David. I want you to go and enjoy it." And it was a time when I was in the room, but you know, the timing was perfect. How God set it up from one moment to the next, 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 one thing to the next. And do you know what it is there was a moment I stood in the bed. I was just stood in that room, and God was all over the room. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew I was at the very, very center of God's will. I absolutely knew that I knew that I knew. And that's, there's nothing more precious. And you will have total peace and contentment. And as you're coming, and I love hearing all the stories. I love going to Gateshead here in Norma with all our stories. And it's like, you know, and not just all, but all he is coming back in different ones with different stories. It's great, you know. It encourages us. Because I say, well, there's people putting things into action that I'm teaching. And it's working for them. You know, and that's what gives me the lift that people are, and we are making a big dent. The devil is furious at what's happening here. He is furious because you know what it is? Because you know what God said to me, Davey? Multitudes. Amen. I'm bringing multitudes to you. I'm going to bring the ones and twos, then the dribble comes, he says, but son, then the thousands and the thousands and the thousands, and it will spread all over the nation. It will go into Europe. It will, hallelujah, to the ends of the earth. And he said, when I'm, you know, he said, I'm watering the field. When I'm finished watering the field, I'll come down from heaven and dwell with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. He is coming. Hallelujah. I'm just going to finish with this because this is really important to you. You know, I want everything that God has for me. I do. I want everything. I don't want to miss any of it. You know, I want everything that God has ordained for us. I want to, you know, do you not want everything God has ordained for you? You know, it's like, you know, he's got so much stuff for us. And I want everything that God's got for me. I want all the blessings he's got. I want all the provision he's got. I want everything that God is, you know, that the Lord has provided for me. You know, what did God say? What did he say? What did he say? You're a son. You're a child. Right? It must come to pass. So let the Lord, let the substance of faith be real and evident in your life. Right? I want to call forth every blessing that God has prepared for you. I want to call forth everything He has got for you. I want to call forth every bit of provision. I want to call forth every good work He has prepared for you. Every good relationship you have prepared. See, this is why it's so important about staying on the right path, because God has got people in your life who you will meet, who will, at some point, there's divine connections. Now, God took me to reach some of the richest men on the planet, and richest men in Britain, and friends in that, And there's purpose in that. And at the right time, those purposes will be undone. But I've got them there because God's, And that's why He has, Norman could get invited to Downing Street, certainly lead the Prime Minister to Christ, because he needs saving. He talks about being a Christian, but I've never, he's a funny sort of Christian. He does more U-turns than, he does more U-bends and U-turns than, than Wix's builders, the plumbing department, it's like, isn't he? More U-turns, than the M25, So he might want you in the right place. He's got stuff prepared for you. He's got stuff prepared for you. Every good work. And I want to call forth every good work for you, every good relationship for you, every form of healing for you. There's nobody sick in heaven. There's anybody sick in heaven. So why should you put up with it? I'm calling forth every form of healing for you. Mental healing, he bore the crown of thorns. And those thorns went into his head to deal with every type of disease, mental disease of the mind. His hands were pierced to deal with every form of sickness involving hands. His feet were pierced so that every form of foot disease could be healed. He was whipped 39 times across his back. There are 39 categories of sickness and disease in the world today. And He's took a stripe for everyone. I want to claim everything for you. And we've got to claim it ourselves. I want to claim total freedom and deliverance. I claim every entrustment that God has for us. God's prepared some great things and entrustments for you. Let's receive them right now. Let's stand right now.